This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
And welcome back to 7-5 Radio. I am Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew. Walt, how are we doing today?
I'm here. We're doing pretty well today, I guess. You know, it's another day above ground. It's always a good day.
Yep. Every day you wake up, you don't smell candles and flowers. It's even better. But Anyways, we got a great show for you again. Last week's show with Gary Byrne, that was a hell of a show. Gary's a great guy. He enjoyed coming on with us. He's going to do other things with us. And also down the road, we're going to be doing something on YouTube with going live. The language will be a little bit more saltier, but that should be fun. But look for that down the road. But anyways, well, let's get going. Let's talk about our favorite mayor of all time, Bill de Blasio. Now, we told everybody on the political cesspool since day one, de Blasio would be terrible for New York City, especially the New York City Police Department. Sunday night, Officer Amir Pacey from the 120 was shot in the stomach, allegedly by friendly fire. Now, MPD brass, including Commissioner O'Neill, showed up to support this young man, held the press conference. But Mayor de Blasio was conspicuously absent. Now, he arrived at Staten Island University Hospital the next day. What's your take on that, Walt?
He's a failure, this man, in being a mayor in every which way. he's not pro cop. He's constantly showed his dislike for the New York City Police Department. He never has a kind word to say, except maybe at a funeral, and that's probably his felt obligation to say something. And like I told you once before, when he's on television, he's addressing the boys in blue. They turn his back on him. I get up, I turn around too. You know, I go do something else because I don't really want to listen to anything that man has to say. New York City has had a few good mayors and, you know, a number of weak-minded mayors. And this guy tops the cake. He's the cherry on the icing, this fella. He just does not have cops in the best interest. You know, he'll get up there and he'll say he does, and he'll be up there with the police commissioner and the chief of police and, you know, and such during a press conference, but he really does not have the police department at the top of his list to address in a respectful manner. I mean, you know, the guy does that to police, and he's got a police escort everywhere he goes. So why would you, you know, want to do that? It's the kind of guy that I would jump out of the way of a bullet instead of in the way of a bullet if I was guarding him. He just doesn't have it. He just doesn't have it. This right. Officer that was shot, thank God it wasn't fatal. You know, he survived. I'll tell you a quick short story. Many years ago when I was on the police force, I was in 2 shootouts. And each time, you know, I went to the hospital, both times to Brookdale Hospital. And each time, I wasn't wounded. But Mayor Koch called the precinct and spoke to me when I was released from the hospital. He sent, I can't remember the fellow's name, he sent one of his aides down to the hospital to make sure I was okay. But, you know, there's a little psychological damage done, too, when you're shot at. So this guy didn't do any of that. He didn't call the guy. He just ignored the whole situation, it seems. You know, he pointed his finger and said, "What? Not fatal? Okay, you handle it." And that's not right. That's not right.
Right. Right. I mean, Bill de Blasio makes Abraham Beam look like Rudy Giuliani. But anyways, but Mayor de Blasio was all he was hot as hot can be when a housing authority security in a public benefit or correction, a social benefits office, or i.e. the welfare office, had a arrest upstanding citizen named Jasmine Headley, who A, had an active warrant, B, was acting a fool, C, refused to turn over her baby to authorities so she can go to jail and take care of the warrant, and D, helped create a riot. And so anyways, Mayor de Blasio screaming for investigation from the housing authority, the NYPD, and so on and so forth. But anyways, luckily for Ms. Headley, her blonde dreadlocks were not damaged in the arrest or transportation or central booking or getting released from Rikers Island, thank God.
Yeah,
what do you say about that?
Everybody, the extensions were saved. They were saved. They weren't damaged in any way. Scoop is absolutely correct. There weren't any animals wounded in this film clip. Unbelievable.
Right.
You know, as a cop, and you know yourself, you never know what you're going to handle, you know, or have to handle or address. You know, A to Z every day when you're on that when you're on the job like that. And everybody can be a Monday morning quarterback. And I'm not going to do that to these officers. But I'm going to Monday morning quarterback the commissioner and the mayor by them saying that it was uncomfortable watching this tape, this video. You know, it's too far along where the public has lost respect for the power of the police department. You know, when you're a cop walking the street, you're in charge. You're in charge. You're there to protect. You're there to serve. You're there to do your lawful duty. And you're in charge. If somebody's doing something that you don't like, but it's not illegal, you know, you got to wear a hat and say, well, you got the right to do that. Keep on going. In this case, this woman had a warrant, I think out of New Jersey or something. And I didn't see the whole clip. They only showed, of course, what I saw. Was she was on the floor,
right?
And it looked like they were pulling the baby. You know, you got to see the whole picture. You got to see what the triggers were. And, you know, you have a black female who is screaming at the top of her lungs, false statements. Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? They have no right to do this. They didn't do nothing wrong. And then you get the crowd into it. You know, leave her alone. Leave her alone. And it just
right.
escalates to the point. Now, if a police officer stops you, and I've been stopped by police, you know, on maybe a traffic infraction. And it's always yes and no. I don't know. This is my license. This is my registration. No, I don't know where my insurance card is, but I have, you know, like 10 expired ones. I can't find the current one. You know, if you treat the officer with respect, you're going to get respect back. And it's
right.
going to end up the way it did or the way it appears to be.
Right. We got to take our first. We got to come to our first break. When we come back, we'll talk more about de Blasio and support of women of color. Also, we got Donald Trump and mental illness coming down the pike, but they're totally different subjects. 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And like Mr. Edwards says, we're back on 7-5 Radio. We're talking about Bill de Blasio, how he's just constantly a disappointment for the people of the city of New York, but not us, because he gives us loads of material. But anyways, I was saying Bill de Blasio does support women of color, unless they work for the NYPD. In 2017, a vigil was held for Officer Miesosist Familia, yeah, who was killed in the Bronx. Now, de Blasio, he was out of town the day after Familia was killed. He missed a vigil in the place where Detective Familia was shot and killed. And he just was able to make it back to New York for the funeral. Where was Mayor de Blasio? He was over in Germany visiting his son, who was doing something in Berlin. He was a college student. He was praising the Hamburg, Germany police while one of his officers was laying in a morgue cold. So that's Bill de Blasio with females of color. But meanwhile, Donald Trump, he was at a memorial for officers killed in line of duty for Police Week here in Washington, D.C. Not only did he have Detective Familia's partner on the stage with him, but he had Familia's entire family on the stage. And he walked over to Detective Familia's mother, gave her a huge hug, a kiss on the cheek, and told the family, he looked up, pointed, and said, "She's in heaven looking down right now," which is really, really touching. But as we know, this is not de Blasio's first run-in with the NYPD. I mean, just ask the rank and file concerning contract negotiations. He's all about labor unions, except for the PBA, which is a collective bargaining agreement labor union. But back in 2014, December 2014, de Blasio tells the press that he tells his biracial son to fear the police due to his skin color. That's right. De Blasio, who's the mayor, who has protection from the NYPD, whose son has protection from the New York Police Department, is told to he needs to fear the police and obey and comply with the police due to his skin color. And 2 weeks later, two MOS were shot and killed sitting in the RMP one cold Saturday afternoon. But any more thoughts on de Blasio before we move on down to D.C.?
I said two minority police officers by an African-American male, Ramos and Lou, was his name?
Correct. Winjin Lou and Rafael Ramos. And this network scooped the entire story. Sean Bergen, who has a nose for the news like nobody else, text me one day. He's like, hey, two city cops were shot and killed. I'm going to the scene. This is going to be huge. And that Saturday, I was off from work for whatever reason, so I had more or less hijacked the entire show to get the scoop, and we predicted this was going to be a start of the war on cops. But not to be outdone, the District of Columbia City Council voted to decriminalize fare beating, or fare evasion, as they call it down here in Washington, D.C., since so many young residents of color in the district have criminal records and the cost of riding the Metro is just so expensive. Now, Metro already loses $25 million in fare evasion or fare beating. Has been losing riders constantly due to constant construction, constant track work, constant breakdowns, constant problems in the system. And then Metro is spending money hand over fist that they don't have to fix a system where it needs to be, because the system is about 42, 43 years old, and it's been just totally neglected. Nobody did any work, because back in the 70s, early 80s, is a brand new system, and they kept saying, oh, we'll fix it later, fix it later, fix it later. Spent the money that they were supposed to fix it. Money went missing, you know, because it's, you know, it's all politicians, all getting rich, and so they need the money. But the Metro Transit Police Department down here have their hands tied. I've talked to transit cops time and time again. They said they're told not to do any work, don't be active. They're discouraged from doing their job. And at times that they do their job and they have to use like the, you know, just a little bit of minimum amount of force, they get paperwork put on them. So like every other job in the police job in America, you know, morale's at zero. Well, what do you think of the city council voting to decriminalize fare evasion?
It falls into some weak footsteps, and I don't know if that's a good metaphor or not, that the NYPD tried 30-odd years ago regarding the same thing, the fare beaters. I mean, anybody can jump a turnstile, and they do, day in and day out, day in and day out. And it costs more for the police department to write this guy a summons that the guy's never going to show up for, and he's got a warrant for his arrest. And then they send out the warrant squad to go find him and get him, you know, in a group kind of thing. You know, it costs an enormous amount of money to track these people down. And if you lock the guy up because he does have a warrant, you know, back then it was, what, I don't know, 75 cents to get on the train. I can't remember. I think I jumped my turnstiles. That's why I don't remember how much they cost. And the cost of these things just is not equal to the amount of what the city's getting. However, the police officer has his hands handcuffed, so to speak. Don't do your job. Don't do this. Don't do that, because it's not cost effective. It's not going to work. And that comes from the top. That doesn't just come into each precinct. That comes from the top. They don't want you to do certain things. The turnstile thing, you know, like I said, people have been jumping turnstiles since turnstiles were invented, and you're not going to stop it. The punishment for jumping turnstiles, nobody's afraid of. Nobody's afraid of. You're going to put them in jail for a day. Judge is going to let them out, and they just say, okay, time served, you know, and hit the mallet to the wood. And it's going to be the end of it. So the guy gets a couple of free meals, a warm bed at night, and he gets out the next day, and it's done and over with. Because they don't want to deal with this. There's too many people that do it. There's too many people that jump. And the money that we're losing, like you said, you know, $25 million a year is nothing to sneeze at. Just to step off the line a little bit from the turnstiles, I think the Governor Cuomo just decided to up the Staten Island Bridge, what's that, the Verrazano Bridge, up to $19. I don't know if I heard that right. I saw something. I saw a blip in that, you know, over the weekend. And, it, you know, it's just ridiculous. These things that you charge to use, bridges, turnstiles, trains, that's supposed to be used to pay the people to upkeep the things, but that's never happening. It's never happening. They wait until the end of a turnstile's life before they replace it or repair it or paint it. I think the last time I was in New York City, I ran through the subway system because it's the fastest way around in the city. And I was there with Michael Dapp,
right.
And I stood in front of the thing. I didn't know what the hell to do. And, you know, he takes out his little swipe card and swipes me in. You know, I'm still in the token days as far as I'm concerned, you know, as far as my mind goes. But, you know, New York City has improved only because they haven't, you know, spent a lot of time in the subway halls. But, you know, they need to be cleaned up. They smell like urine. The rats are running around every day. There's garbage on the tracks. There's garbage on the platform. And I'm not just talking about the trash on the floor. I'm talking about the two-legged garbage that is standing on the platform. And the criminal element is just unbelievable down there, too. So,
right.
You know, it's got to be a cop's worst nightmare for a foot post at turnstile.
Right. Well, when we get back, I'll tell you my big story about stopping a fare beater and what happened from that. But anyways, we got Trump blasting Chucky, and we got mental illness coming up. Stay with us, folks.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we're back. Real quick, this is a perfect reason why we need enforcement of fare evasion at the turnstiles. Years ago, when I was with New York's Finest, this young man crawled under the turnstile. I asked him if he had anything he shouldn't have. He looked at me like he saw a ghost. So I pulled out a baseball-sized piece of uncut cocaine. He said he was bringing it down to his brother, who cuts it up and distributes it. And so when he was brought to the local precinct up near 137th Street and Broadway, narcotics spoke to him and took it from there. Also, a number of people that do fare evade, and they run them for warrants. They pop out warrants. I know in Washington, I remember a guy, he's wanted for assault and with a deadly weapon, and not to mention the number of weapons that's taken out of the system from these fare evaders. So I think there should be enforcement of fare evasion. Yeah, it's a real burden for the criminal justice system for a $2, $3, $5 fare, but it's a necessary evil. But anyways, moving right along, we got some good news this week. President Trump and Vice President Pence sat down with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer at a televised sit-down in the Oval Office. And he gave Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi both barrels. And he said this in front of the TV cameras, that he would shut down the government if he can't get a wall, and he'll take the blame for it. And he said, unlike Chuck, I'll take the blame for it. And when you shut down the government, it was a failure. And I just absolutely loved it. I mean, this is why we voted for Donald Trump. I don't agree with him 100%, but then again, I don't agree with myself 100%. But, I mean, this man, he still wants that wall. He still has the interest of the American people at heart. The Democrats, they don't want a wall because they like the members of MS-13, members of the Mexican Mafia, the drug traffickers, the sex traffickers, the people with no marketable skills, the people who don't want to become American, the people who just look for a handout. They want them people to come because they see them as future Democratic voters. Walt, were you able to watch Trump on the TV this week?
I saw a little bit of it, and you had the Chucky Schumer, who, like I always say, used to be a Republican in New York, but he jumped ship. Don't know why, but anyway, I don't even want to get into his persona. I never looked at the camera, looked down, looked at Nancy, looked down, looked at Nancy, maybe glanced over to the president and the vice president. Totally disrespectful. Nancy Pelosi felt that was her soapbox, so to speak, and her time to talk over. And she did talk over Mr. Trump a number of times when he was trying to speak also. It was totally disrespectful. But as you said, Mr. Trump laid it out, in the one line, I'll shut the government down if I don't get my wall. And they do not like that at all. They felt that he was being disrespectful. They felt that he is being insensitive to our neighboring border of Mexico. And, what never comes up is everybody hears about the border of Mexico, but it's just not the Mexicans, illegal Mexicans coming over, and the caravan proved that. You need a wall. Years and years ago, it was a joke with Obama and Bush. It was a joke about the wall. Everybody joked about it. And one joke that I remember was, all right, let's get the Mexicans to build it, promise them asylum in the States, and then when they're done, throw them back over. This way we get the wall done, pretty cheap. I'm 100% behind the wall. It's got to be put up. I suggested that the wall be made out of 35, 40-foot high walls, concrete, 8 feet thick, like they have around Attica and some of the older prisons, Leavenworth, and Auburn in New York, and build that kind of a wall all the way across the border, and then build prisons on the other side of it. What great moat would it be to have all our bad people on the border also? And if they escape into Mexico, who gives a damn? Follow me?
Right.
Yeah, I'm just ranting. But, you know, I think, you know, we can make use of the border besides just putting up a steel wall. I think we can do something, you know, a little bit more elaborate that it's going to generate money, not just absorb money. My idea, like I said, was, you know, build our federal prisons and just build those giant walls again. And because, you know, they're going to have sensors in them. They're not going to be able to dig underneath because the prison yard is going to be too big to get underneath. You know, there's a number of ideas that I have that I wake up in the middle of the night and I go, oh, yeah, we could do that. Just my rendition of what the wall should be.
Right. Now, don't forget, Chuck Schumer, some time back, said that he actually approved Israel building the wall separated from Palestine because they need to keep their borders free of people who wish to do them harm. But, you know, what's good for Israel is not good enough for the U.S. But, right. I mean, that's Chuck Schumer just being a politician. But, you know, New York will just keep voting themselves out of prosperity. Then they come down here or go down to Texas and do the same thing. But, anyways, let's move right along. Talk about mental illness, something that's near and dear to my heart. Recently, we brought a family member over to a facility to get some treatment for different issues. And we sat down with this psychiatrist, and all she did was just keep prescribing medications. It was only a 15-minute appointment. It was like, oh, is this working? No. All right, we'll try this. Is this working? No, we'll try this. And this kept going on for a couple months. So finally, we sat down, and I said, Doc, no more pills. You know, we'd rather have talk to somebody with the, you know, about therapy or counseling or some of that nature. And she said, oh, well, I'm the medical coordinator here. My job is to make sure the medication is working. And I just flipped my wig. I said, you got to be kidding me. And it's like, you can't just throw pills at people and hope that makes better and make them better. And if that doesn't work, throw more pills. We got enough issues with medication. I mean, you know, big pharma is everywhere. So, you know, instead of like doing therapy, doing surgery, doing, you know, actual work, just throw pills at it. And meanwhile, you know, the pharmaceutical companies keep getting richer and richer. Well, I know you have experience in this area. Take it away.
Yeah. You know, some of our listeners know that since I've been down here in Tennessee, I'm retired now, but I worked in the developmentally disabled field, and I was doing case management, which I monitor their money and medications and doctor's appointments and such. And, you know, mentally challenged people, you know, have a stereotype of being sweet and loving and warming. And for the, you know, for a big part of it, yeah. You know, they are, but what's underlying is that a lot of them are on medications, and some of them have some mental health issues also besides developmental disability. And I would take them to, you know, psychiatrist, and just like you said, you know, 15 minutes or less, how you doing today? And, you know, 9 times out of 10, it was a foreign speaking kind of guy, you know, with a heavy accent. And yep. How you doing? How have you been? And the person who is, you know, educated as being competent, because nobody's taken this person to court to be, a conservator for him, can make his own decisions or her own decisions. Oh, I'm fine. Okay. And prescription is written and out the door you go. And he's got to be doing 10, 15 appointments an hour, which each one is billable if you spent an hour with them. It doesn't matter. It's a flat rate. And I don't know how the billing works, but the medications, all right, this isn't working, like you said a little bit ago, Scoop. They'll try something. And these are some heavy medications, you know, starting with Xanax, which, you know, everybody's more familiar with. It's the common, you know, type of Valium to calm you down. But, you know, there's gabapentin, there's psychotropic medications like Lexapro and Prozac. And these things are not anything to sneeze at. And, you know, I went to, I'm going to tell you a quick story before the next break. I took a fella, he would get a shot in his hip once a month with a heavy dose of gabapentin, okay? And I went in, spoke to the nurse, about an issue with some of the other medications that he was taking that weren't appearing to work, or they weren't giving us the desired effect anymore. So he says, okay, and gives the guy the shot in the rump and calls the doctor, and the doctor comes in and I explain, and she says to the nurse, I'm like, don't give him this shot to them. And I went, too late.
All right. Well, we'll be right back. Finish up with psychotropic drugs.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRite, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRite makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRite today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we're back talking about drugs on the American society. Not the ones you go down the street corner and get from the pusher man. We're talking the ones prescribed by so-called medical professionals. Well, please continue.
So this fellow got his shot in his hip, and the doctor come in, and she says, I explained the situation that we weren't getting the desired effect of the oral medications that he was also taking. And she turned around and told the nurse, all right, don't give him a shot. And I went, well, too late. You know, you gave him a shot. Now what are you going to do? Well, the guy ended up in the hospital. And he was under observation in the ICU for 2 days because of an overdose. that he was given. And, you know, it's unfortunate. It's hard to find a good psychiatrist or a psychologist that will administer, you know, the proper medications, because Medicare, Medicaid doesn't pay an awful lot. And that's why they have, you know, like, you can call it a pill mill, if for lack of a better term. If they're seeing 10 to 15 people an hour, it's a pill mill. And the reason they're doing that is because Medicare doesn't pay a lot, so they do as many as they can. And private insurance companies, same thing. They don't pay a lot, and they take what they can get. And psychiatrists are stepping out of the field of psychiatry and going back into medical practice. After that incident, you know, I told them, I says, you know, we're not happy with this. Well, if you want to go try to find another psychiatrist, go ahead. And I certainly did. We found a psychiatrist that was associated with Vanderbilt, and she was absolutely great. She's retired now, but she helped out the population that I was helping out there in the community immensely. She helped them. She would sit there and actually talk to people for 15 to 20 minutes, up to an hour. And when I was sitting out in her waiting room and she was in there with somebody else, I didn't mind sitting out there for an hour because I know she was helping somebody.
Right.
You know, in some of these psychiatry offices, the nurse or the receptionist never moves away from the door because she's always, somebody's coming in, somebody's going out. She's always calling somebody's name, you know, going to room 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, and that psychiatrist goes in and out, in and out, in and out. Now they have LPNs that also do the administration of the psychotropic medications. And, of course, they're not getting paid a whole lot. They're lucky they have a job. It's just awful. It seems like there's no precedent. There's no textbook on how to monitor doctors passing out the psychotropic medications. And when they change the medication, let's say you're taking 20 milligrams of gabapentin, and he changes it to 40, okay? Whatever is left in the bottle is left in the bottle. And there are people that work in the community with these people that take that, and then, yeah, you can go buy it from the guy on the street corner. You know, you follow me? So there's no regulation of turning old medication in either, which, you know, it's just out there floating around in the street, and it's awful.
Yep, and it's not just drugs in the psychological community. But here's some also two facts. One, the shooter in Colorado for the shooting of the Batman movie, he was on psychotropic drugs. And the other shooter, Jared Loughner, he was also on psychotropic drugs.
Right.
But in the medical community, my father, he was taking a baby aspirin for his heart. So then the doctor says, don't take the baby aspirin anymore. Take this other medication. And the other medication had a lot more side effects than just a little baby aspirin. So I was like, why are you taking that? Oh, I just want to change your medication. Well, is there something wrong with the baby aspirin? Something wrong with me? No, you're fine. I just want to change the medication. So, and then my father-in-law, God rest his soul, he was, before he passed away, he was taking between 12 and 18 pills a day. And I was like, good God. I mean, God only knows what kind of reaction he's having with all these different pills. I mean, if you look at when you get a prescription now, you have a whole booklet on side effects. All right, supposed to help you with the head, but you can have like oily discharge coming out of your hind parts. I mean, it's not worth it. That's why I'm very pillophobic, because, you know, I understand medicine does great things, but we can't be just giving people these pills and we get zombies, or we got people with other medical issues that's worse than the original condition. And
absolutely.
Again, that's the way medicine is headed towards. You know, just come in, you know, oh, what's wrong with you? I don't feel good. Here, take this.
The interaction of, you know, one medication versus another, you know, of what you're taking at the same time. I mean, you know, ammonia by itself is okay. Clorox by itself is okay. But you mix them together, now you got a poisonous gas. It's the same thing with the medication you take. You know, they interact inside your body in different ways. You got to make sure that, you know, you're not mixing the wrong meds and it becomes toxic inside your body. So, you know, there are a number of deaths that are not attributed to bad medication administration. And, well, he had a heart attack, or he died of kidney disease, or, you know, liver failure. And a lot of that has to do with medication interaction. And there is no way that any entity can keep up with this kind of a thing, because there are so many people out there that need psychotropic medication at some level or another.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, but I mean we gotta get a hold on it. But the pill lobby down in Washington, they got Congress by they got Congress in their pocket, so they don't look for any legislation yet. But another good thing about President Trump, he's allowing experimental procedures so people can get the help that they need without having to go just keep popping pills and then getting addicted and so on and so forth. A friend of my father's, he was having tremendous pain. I think it was his foot or whatever. So they gave him oxycodone, and sure enough, he became addicted, and then eventually he just threw out his pills. He's like, this is too much, and just he realized it, and just threw out the pills. So anyways, we only got a short time now. Next week's show, I want to talk about the state of health in terms of doctors. I got a good story about somebody who practices medicine around here. But, any final words, comments, questions, concerns, any upcoming appearances?
No, not for me. But on a sad note, there was a law enforcement officer in Indiana that lost his life in the line of duty last night chasing a stolen car, was cut off and hit into a tree during a high-speed pursuit. His name was Officer Benton Bertram of the Indiana Police in Scott County in southern Indiana, and his end of watch is 12/12/18. And in this news brief that they offer, that 77 law enforcement officers have been killed in the line of duty in 2018, and 77 too many. So when you see things like what happened in with that girl and the baby and the four or five cops around her trying to get her, you know, into custody, and you turn around and you think of 77 that have given their lives in the line of duty, leave them alone, let them do their job. Because the next day they might face something like this, and they'll be number 78. So we don't need this in our life. It's got to get better. It's got to get better. If a police officer is pulling you over and you're dirty, dude, you know, if you don't want to do the time, don't do the crime. And be prepared, because the police are going to be changing pretty soon. It's not going to be so docile. I'm sure that the police department is coming up with more tactical ways to protect themselves. So I didn't want to really close it on a sad note, but just remember Ben Bertram, officer in the Indiana Police Force.
Right, and here's another thing. Those who are still out there on the road, please, for the love of God, be careful driving them cars, because, believe it or not, we lose more officers to traffic accidents and car crashes than we do and get murdered by gunshots or other ways. But we reflect on the people who are just murdered in the line of duty, because even though it's only 77, we're at the getting close to the end of December, there's still 77 too many. And just for too long, people have been, especially the media and the politicians, they always, like Bill de Blasio, they always just crap all over the cops. And then the people who are on the right of so-called right of things, especially Andrew Wilkow, they always say, I support the cops when it's convenient for them. I've yet to hear Wilkow talk about a 10/13 event in the city. I've yet to hear him call open his wallet for anything. If you're out there, folks, and you see a uniform officer or deputy, buy that man or woman a cup of coffee. Say thank you and just obey the law. Well, that's all the time we have for now. We hear Riders of the Storm coming, so we're going to ride off into the sunset. Another great edition of 7-5 Radio for Walter Yerke. This is Peter Scoop Stanton. Have a good one, everybody.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.